Our text for this morning's meditation is from the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah 23, these words. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster shall come upon you." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a while ago, the doorbell of the church rang one morning, and answering it, sticking my head out the door, there stood an older man, a man in his late 70s or early 80s, and he looked at me and he said, "What does your sign mean?" Kind of looked at him with a quizzical look on my face, I think, for then he repeated the question. "What does your sign mean?" "Sign?" I said. "You know the one on Osborne Road. What does it mean?" I didn't know what he was talking about, to what exactly he was referring, for it's an electronic sign and it says a lot of things. So I ask, "Well, what does the sign say?" "The kingdom of heaven is near," he responded. Oh, I got it then. The man was referring to our electronic sign there on Osborne, one of the Bible verses that was at that time being displayed, Matthew 3, verse 2, John the Baptist's call to repentance. Well, the man at the door was obviously shaken. I mean, having read that verse on our sign, he went so far as to come to the church door, ring the bell, and ask what it was all about. His thought apparently was, Christ must be returning, and we, our church here, just happen to know when that was going to take place. Well, we then had a nice conversation. But impressive to me, memorable even, was the fact that that man had taken the Word of God so seriously. He'd taken it so seriously, even as he had seen it on an electronic sign. He read it. He believed it. He thought about it. And he wondered, what does that word mean for me? What does it mean for my life? Who I am? What does it mean for what I'm doing? Now, I don't run into that so often as a pastor. Actually, it's rare. More common is the request simply to provide some sort of verse from Scripture that soothes and comforts and assures someone that even though they don't have that great of interest in the Word of God, they'd rather have good words being spoken about them from the Bible than bad. Words of promise rather than words of condemnation. You know, kind of like that funeral we were at once, that funeral where a pastor was found somewhere or some religious person to say a few words. And the words that were spoken, the description of our friend or relative in the casket, made us wonder who in fact that guy or gal, as the case may be, was talking about. An Uber driver, perhaps, who being killed in an auto accident, an Uber driver who would have nothing to do with religion, let alone Jesus Christ, who lived a hard life, partying every weekend, flirting with drug addiction, abusing alcohol and the girlfriends he could attract, but never holding on to one for long. An Uber driver who at his funeral is said to be happily delivering people from one spot to another as he drove down the golden streets of heaven. We've all been to a funeral like that. And yeah, that's a bit crass, but not really. For who really nowadays wants to hear the whole counsel of God? Who wants to know that if they live a life of shameless self-fulfillment of doing this and that, which even their conscience tells them is wrong? Who wants to be told to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Does anyone? Does anyone? We would rather hear someone tell us that whatever we do, however we are, everything is going to be just fine. So the pop song from Ingrid Michaelson from a few years ago, the chorus to that song, we all, we're going to be all right. We always got the fight in us. We all, we're going to live tonight like there's no tomorrow, because we're the afterlife. We're the afterlife. That's not true. Simply isn't true. We're not the afterlife. We're the now life. Life at the moment. The afterlife is to come in the future after we have lived and then died. The only question for us is where? Where are we going to spend that afterlife? Well, God, our loving Heavenly Father, He wants us to spend that afterlife with Him. And why not? Why not? He did create us. He created us in His image, and He wants us to live with Him forever, like any parent would like their child to live with them, their child that is nothing but wonder and goodness and a joy to be around. Of course, such a glowing description of us as children, it's not quite accurate, is it? A wonder, goodness, joy to be around us? Well, no. But our Heavenly Father knows that. He knows that. And so He works on us daily in the here and now, daily by means of His Spirit, so that we in this life learn daily to live in His wonder and in His goodness and learn to be a joy to be around. Why does our Father in heaven send us His Spirit? Why doesn't He just blow us off to sing nonsensical songs the rest of our lives in ignorance, declaring that we're the afterlife? Why doesn't God just let us be? Because God loves us. God, our Heavenly Father, He loves us. And so in that love, He justified us, that is, declared us to be righteous and holy and without sin. That is, all who turn to Him and just admit they're sinners. That is, who repent. For when that happens, when we admit that we are not what we should be, that we have sinned, and we turn to our Father in heaven asking for forgiveness, God, our Heavenly Father, grants us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, sacrificed for us on the cross, just so that we could be declared righteous and holy, just so the Holy Spirit could be sent into our hearts, just so that we can live a life learning of the wonder of God and the goodness of God and the joy of a life in God, and look forward to an eternity with Him. But yet the world is like the prophets, the false prophets mentioned in our text. The world in general is like that sleazy friend we've all had. That friend that we quickly became friends with in the first grade or the fifth grade or in junior high or high school or at work. You know the one. The one that kind of sidles up to us and has nothing but good things to say about us every day. Good things about us that not many people say. Good things that we want to be true about us, even if they're not. And because that friend is so nice, so friendly, so wonderful, we start seeing things and listening to things and participating in things that we would have never participated in before. If only to show our friend how grateful we are to them for their attention. But then there's that moment of realization. That moment of realization where we come to our senses and we say, hey, this isn't right. This isn't right. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be thinking this. I shouldn't be watching this. And that's when we need simply to walk away. We need simply to walk away from the world, to turn our backs on the world which will just amuse itself with us, it will abuse us, and then throw us away. Yes, we need to turn our backs on the world and once again return to the Lord our God, who loves us undeservedly and receives us back mercifully, who is patient with us unjustifiably and abounds with love for us, a love that doesn't falter. He he's the one to whom we should listen, not the false prophets of the world. The truth of the matter is, it will not be good for those who despise the word of the Lord, and it will not be well for those who stubbornly follow their own heart. For them, the afterlife will be them. For them, the afterlife will be them. An eternity with all those who live likewise. And it won't be a great big party, but a great misery, like the park full of heroin addicts lying around, strung out. The park in Frankfurt I used to walk through every morning on my way to school in Germany. If we're the afterlife, that's the afterlife we're going to be. And even much worse. This is the word of the Lord. The warning which we received in the Old Testament reading, and again in the epistle reading, the full counsel of God, it's called there, and then again in the gospel reading from Jesus, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Is that the future we want to experience? I certainly hope not. So why not simply repent? Receive the forgiveness that God, our Heavenly Father, wishes to bestow on us every single day. Repent, for the kingdom of God here. It's right here. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.